Thank you. Again, a warm welcome to you. And because it's a family service today, I would like to invite all the children who would like to come to the front. Or maybe you want to come with your mum or your dad. That's also okay. There's lots of seats here for mums and dads. So do come when you're ready. Come and join me at the front. And Faustin, please can we have the slides? And what I want us to do is hold hands. Can we do that? And we get in a... Yes, that's right. Very good. Yes. What's going on now? Kiss the Tiger. That's a nice shirt, isn't it? Interesting. So let's hold hands, and shall we get into a circle? So you guys around there, come around here. And if we look up on the screen, you can see there's another circle of people, a bit like us, there. Because in the classes, while you're having your classes downstairs every week, the grown-ups also have classes upstairs. And in our classes, we keep being reminded at the moment that what God is doing all the time is he's making us a family. You know, we've all got mums and dads and brothers and sisters and grandmas and granddads and aunts and uncles and cousins. We have families. We come from a family. But also here in church, we are being made into God's family. God is, oh yeah, mummy, you've got a mummy too, she's over there. And daddy's right there. That's cool. Great, daddy's right there. That's good, isn't it? Because we have families who love us as well. So today, we're going to continue in the grown-up course of studies. This is not easy, is it? It's making it really exciting for all ages. But we're going to see how we get on. Because our verse is on the screen as well, the next screen. Because it says to us, how is it that God makes us into his family? Now, children, if you look at those verses, you will see some very big words in red. And they're so big that even grown-ups like me and the other grown-ups like your mums and dads don't always know what those words mean. So don't worry about the fact that they're big words. Because I believe that as we look at this today, God wants to help us understand his wonderful message from these words. So I want us to look at the screen, adults as well. You can stand up if you like as well. And we're going to read God's word together from Acts chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. So should we turn around? Everyone stand up and we'll read together. Yeah, can you see if you can read? For those God foreknew, yeah, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Next verse. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Okay. You can sit down now if you like, on the floor or on your seat if you want to have a seat. Do you want to sit down? So we're going to think about what this tells us about how God... You can sit here with me, don't go too far away. How God is making us into his family. And the first, what we see here is he has already done two things before we were born. Even before the world was made. And then once we're born, he does two more things. He's doing those things right now. And there's another thing that he's still going to keep doing. And he's going to keep doing it and keep doing it until the end of time, when we're with him, when we die, or when we go to be with him, when he comes again. What am I talking about? What is God doing all the time so that we can be his children and brothers and sisters together? So the first thing that he does, Paul says this word foreknew, which literally means he knew us before we were born, before the world was made. And it doesn't just mean that he knew about us, that he knew what he would make us to be like, that he knew what sort of face we would have, or what color eyes we would have, or if we were going to be fat or thin or tall or short. But actually it means that he knew us like we know our mum and dad. I mean, when you go to school, you can know about maths, or you can know about history, or you can learn about something else. But when you get home, you know your mummy is loving you, don't you? You know her like that. That's what this word means. It's amazing, isn't it? Before we were born, God already knew us like that. I mean, how is that possible? For us little human beings, it's difficult to understand. But that's what the Bible said. And I think what it means is God loves us so, so much that even before he created us, he chose to have us as his son and his daughter. He chose to have us in his family. He wants us. He set his heart on us. The next thing he did, before we were born, before the whole world was made, it says he predestined us. Again, a big word. What does that mean? Destiny means where we are going. Predestiny means a decision, a plan to go somewhere. So God planned to take us somewhere. He made this plan before we were born, even. I wonder where you are going to go on your holiday. Who's going on holiday this summer? Anyone planning to go on holiday? Not many people. Okay, anyone is planning to go on holiday? Some people are. Some people, maybe you go away next year or something like that. I know Uwe is going to Scotland. He's already made a plan. I think he's booked his flight probably, I don't know, because he's going to a wedding. So he wants to go to Scotland. I know another family here, they've already made a plan to go to England because they want to visit Susan and Walter, who've just moved from our church there. These are good plans. And they're plans because they want these things to happen. They want to go to those places. Now, not all of our plans actually work because something could go wrong. But when God makes a plan, it always works. And what Paul says is, before we were born, God planned when he was going to make us, he would take us to be with him forever. And when we get there, we would be like him. And we would have lots of brothers and sisters who would be like him. And we will be there together, enjoying it together in family. Wow, isn't that amazing? This is what God's word says to us. And he did these two things before we were born, as I say, before the world was made. So the next two things, the next two things he's doing now. Paul said, those he foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. I wonder, who's got a friend in Sunday school? Are you two friends? You are friends, aren't you? And I've noticed that you guys, you're friends as well as somebody. I see you are friends with these guys, aren't you? And I notice after the service, you love to run around with your friends. And I think after the service, that's good, because you have such a good time and you're just enjoying being with each other. And it's lovely to see you being friends with your friends. Actually, what you're doing in a way is you're being brothers and sisters with your family as well. It's beginning to happen, isn't it? And I wonder how it is that that started. How did you become a friend? How did you become friends? I suspect that when you were in the class, one of you looked at the other and thought, she looks like a nice girl. I would like to be friends. Or you may have not even thought that, but you just said, hey, shall we play outside after the service? And the other one could have said, no, I don't want to do that. But actually, that's not what you did. You said, yes, I'll come and I'll play. Or shall we run around outside after the service? Yeah, what a good idea. I'm going to do that. And so you became friends. It's a bit like when you're at home and you want to play with your friend who lives around the corner, and you go around to his door and you ring on the doorbell. Ding dong, ding dong. And if he comes to the door and you say, hey, shall we go and play? And he says, yes, you go off and you play. But if he doesn't answer the door, he's not there, he's gone out, you can't. Or if his mum comes to the door and she says, I'm sorry, but he doesn't want to come out today. Oh dear, that's sad, isn't it? You can't go either. How do we become friends? Somebody has to go and start it. And the other one says yes or no. if God is going to fulfill his plan to have us with him, he comes right now and he says, hello, I want to be your father. I want you to be my son. I was talking this week to an older lady in our church. I don't think she's here today. No, she's not able to be here today. But she was telling me, as I was finding out more about her life, that she grew up when she was a little girl, like you guys, your age. Her mum and dad did not believe in God. They did not go to church. They didn't take her to church. They lived in the eastern part of Germany where that sort of thing wasn't really happening, many, many, many people. But she wanted to go to church. And she went to church. And when she got there, she liked it. She had fun there. She learned about Jesus. She heard Jesus being taught from the Bible. She heard the fact that Jesus died on the cross for her, for her sins, and he rose again to give a new life. And as time went on, she became his daughter. Because God was calling her. God was showing her. When God calls her, it's not when he calls us, it's not just that he comes and rings the doorbell. It's that he helps us to realize he's really there. And he helps us to say, instead of saying, no, I don't want you, God, he helps us to say, yes, God, I really do want to be your son and your daughter. So that's what, so Paul says, those he foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called. Now, the next one is probably the most important. And the next one is what Romans is all about. The next one is this, he justified. Those he called, he justified. What does that mean? Well, let me try and tell you another story, if you can listen to me. I haven't thought about this for years, but when I was about 8 years old, my family went on holiday, and we went to the city of Paris, which is where Jonathan comes from, or partly where he comes from, the capital city of France. And it's a lovely city. I've been there many times since. That was my first time to that city. And 1969, how about that? Just remember. And we were walking along the River Seine, and we were just enjoying the beauty of it, and we saw these amazing boats. I think they're called bateaux mouches, I'm not sure, but these big wide boats with glass roofs on for having a lovely ride on the river so you can see and look at the beautiful city. And it looked great, it looked wonderful. And so my mum and dad said to Nigel, my brother, who was 5, and me, Paul, who was 8, they said, boys, if you behave yourselves today, we'll go on these boats tonight. We'll take a special treat. You'll have a special treat to go on the river tonight. So we thought, oh, great, that's good, that's exciting. All day we were thinking about, it's going to be so good to go on this fantastic-looking boat. Hands up if you think we went on the boat. Yes, you think. How many people think we went on the boat? 2? Anybody else? 3, 4, 5, 6? Hands up if you think we didn't go on the boat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. About the same. A lot of people don't. Abstaining, obviously. I hope you can hear what I'm saying. Well, the truth is, I still have not yet been on a bateaux mouche. And since I saw them that first time, and I've seen them since, I've always thought, well, I'd love to go on one of those boats. It does look nice. But what happened was, it was a long day, it was a hot day. We went around lots of really, really tiring places for little boys. And so we did not behave ourselves so well. And so at the end of the day, we said, are we going to go on the boat now? Dad said, no. Because you did this, because you did this, because you did this. I can't remember what those things were now, but I know, or what I do remember is, oh no, I was so disappointed that we didn't go on the boat. I so much wanted to go on the boat. And I thought to myself, oh, that was so stupid, so silly that I didn't behave myself. Could have gone on that boat, but somehow I couldn't stop myself being somehow not behaving myself. And so there was a punishment, and the punishment was I could not go on the boat. God wants to be our father. He's made a plan that we are his sons and his daughters. But the problem is we're all naughty, actually worse than that. The Bible calls it sin. And in fact, all of us, we never are good enough for God, our father. we always make mistakes. We always think something nasty or say something bad at some point. We are quite good in some ways, but we're never good enough. We have this problem of sin. And God hates sin. He's so angry about it that he has to punish us. So what he says is, you can't live with me. You can't be my son and my daughter while you're a sinner. It doesn't work. Oh no. That's so sad. To help us understand the next bit, I've got this table. And I'm going to invite Olaf and Boya, I think, are going to come and help us now. Liefke. Okay, Liefke's going to do it. Great. First of all, I think it's stable. I want Liefke to stand on this table, so maybe Dad helps her to get up. Do you think, can you do that? Oh, it is a bit unstable, so I'll also hold it.
Take a chair for that.
Take a chair, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Good. So, Liefke, I want to ask you to do something for me. Has your dad explained this to you already? Yeah. So Liefke is going to fall off this chair backwards. And she's... Are you happy to do this?
I did it all those times. I did it in school, I'm curious.
You've done it at school? Okay, good. Because if dad wasn't there, Liefke could hurt herself, couldn't she? She could fall off and hurt herself. But her dad is there, and she can trust him that when she falls... He will catch him. At least I hope she trusts him. Do you trust him?
Mm-hmm.
You think you do? Would you trust me?
I
know. You don't know? Yeah, cool. Fair enough. I think that's all right. Because you don't know me like you know your dad. Your dad is the most special man in your life, isn't he? So you trust him probably more than you trust any other man. That's good. I'm glad that you do. You trust him. So should we try? So close your eyes. I like that. That's really cool. So fall when you're ready. Just fall backwards. Oh, very good. That's lovely. Thank you very much. Now imagine, do you want to come over here for a second? Come with this guy. Davis. Just come here, Davis. Now imagine that I give you pocket money every week, okay? Imagine. Doesn't happen, does it? But imagine it does. And I say to you, Davis, this week you can't have pocket money because of what you did. It was wrong. Oh dear. And that's it. You can't have it. But this is your brother. What's your name?
Moa.
Stand up, Moa. And then Moa comes and he says to me, Pastor, I didn't do anything wrong. But I want you to give my pocket money to Davis. I won't have any this week to take the punishment so that he doesn't get punished. I get punished. Okay? Understand that?
Yeah.
So he doesn't get his pocket money. You get it. Even though you did something wrong and he didn't, he gets the punishment. You don't. Okay? Thank you. Now we look at the cross. That's what Jesus did for every one of us. This is the way in which the Father makes us his son or his daughter. This is the big way that he does it. Because of all the things we've done wrong, we all deserve the punishment to die. But Jesus comes and he dies on the cross for us to take that punishment. He didn't do anything wrong. We did it all wrong. But he takes the punishment in our place. And then Jesus comes and he says, I've taken the punishment in your place. Trust me. Trust me that I did it. And if you are like Liefke and you trust your dad, you can say, yes, I trust you. And when Jesus says to us, trust me, I've taken your punishment for you, we can also trust him. And when we trust him and fall back into his arms, God the Father looks and he says, well, you did wrong and you didn't. But you've paid the price for him, therefore here's your pocket money. And you don't get it, because you paid the price. That's what Jesus does. He takes our punishment so that we can then be his son, or the father's son, or the father's daughter. In a way, that's like, even though we don't deserve permission to be his son or his daughter, He works to give us permission. And that's what justification means. For the adults, it means the legal right to be God's son or God's daughter. Not deserved at all. None of us deserve it. In fact, we deserve hell. We deserve the opposite. But Jesus dealt with it on the cross to give us that. So this is how he's moving now. Jesus died 2,000 years ago on the cross. He now shows himself to us today. That's why we come to Sunday school, so we learn about this, so we can say, yes, I trust you also, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. I trust you. I'm sorry for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. And we become his children, God's children, forever. So we can see Jesus there on the pictures, all standing. Let's come together in a circle again to remind ourselves. Should we come back? Come back, children. Be in the circle. So Jesus is there. There's one more thing he does, which is the one he does next. The one he's doing today and the one he's doing tomorrow. When we've trusted in him, when we've trusted in Jesus, that's the most important thing in your life to do, is to trust Jesus so you get justified. That's the most important decision you ever make in your life. And once that happens, there's still something he will still do. Those he foreknew, he predestined. Those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Whoops. What's this? Yeah. Come here. And those he justified, he glorified. And what does that mean? What is Jesus like, do you think? What do you anyone? Yeah, what's he like?
Er hat die gestoppt.
He died, yeah? Okay, that's good. Is that what you said? My German isn't very good. Someone help me? Is that what she said? What is he like as a person? What is Jesus like? Yeah, what have you been learning in Sunday school? What is Jesus like as a person? What do you think? What do you think about when you think of Jesus? What's he like? Do you understand my question? What's that in German? How can I ask that in German? What do you think, Charles? Your mum's giving you some tips, I can see. What's he like? Is he bad?
No.
No, okay, what's he like then?
He's good.
He's good, yeah, good start. What else? Yes. What's he like? Good. He's very, very good. What else? What do you think he's like? What, when we read the Bible, what do we discover about him? Yes. What's he like?
No.
He died on the cross. Is that what you mean?
No.
Okay. He's very kind, isn't he? He's very loving. Do you think he's loving? Do you think Jesus tells lies?
No.
No. So what's he like then?
Ich weiß jetzt.
You can trust him.
You can trust him. He's honest. You can trust. He's trustworthy. He's faithful. He's very, very wonderful. He's the best person. He's the perfect person. He's a pure person. He has a pure heart. He doesn't think or say anything nasty or wrong. He's strong. He can speak strong things, but it's always good things, kind things. And what Paul says is when God makes us into his sons and his daughters, he starts making us like Jesus. So we also become nicer people. We become kinder people. We become more trustworthy people. People can trust us as well, Charles. And we become more and more like Jesus. And for the rest of our lives, that is now what he is doing with us. He is making us more and more like Jesus. And because we're family, we're standing up here together, it's to remind us that this is not just us on our own. This is us together. That's why we need each other. That's why we are Christians together. We have church because we have to have a way of being together in this. Because our Father is the Father of all of us, brothers and sisters. And so that's the last point to say, but it's very important as well. We are family. And one of the things for the adults that we see in this verse is the way the Greek is written, that those he foreknew, those he predestined, those he called, those he justified, those he glorified. The way Paul writes that is to say everybody gets all of them. Nobody gets just one and a bit of the other, or not the other. every Christian gets all five. And I think that means that we should look at one another the way God looks at us. So when you look around at your brothers and sisters, those people in this room with us, they are other children of God. Now, we're not, we said this last week, none of us is perfect yet. We're still on a journey. I'm not perfect yet. I'm on a journey, but I'm a son of God that has been called. I have been foreknown, I have been predestined, I have been called, I have been justified, and now I'm on process of being glorified. And it's the same for all the rest of us who are Christians, who have received Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So, okay, maybe this is going on too long. We're nearly finished. I'm glad he's enjoying himself. It's okay, he's all right. We're nearly finished. So when we look at one another, see what happens in a family. Just one more thing to say. When I was maybe your age, and still today, my favorite food is chocolate cake, okay? My mother makes the best, she makes the best chocolate cake in the world. It is really the best one, in my opinion. And I grew up eating this cake every week, because she made a new one every week. And my brother and I used to really, when she was cutting it, we'd look, which piece is bigger? Because I don't want him to get a bigger piece than me. Because, I don't know, that's how we are, isn't it, as human beings sometimes. And so we developed a rule, you may have had this rule in your house as well, that we would say, you cut the cake. And the rule is, he who cuts the cake lets the other one choose which piece he can have. And so we'd be getting the measuring tape out and really being careful about how we cut the cake. Because we were jealous of each other. And sometimes in the church we're like that. Or sometimes we think, I think I'm better than that person. Or, I'm not as good as that person. Or, all the problems we have are those people's fault. I think that's the wrong way to look at it. I think God wants us to see, look at it from my perspective. These brothers and sisters are people that I foreknew, that I predestined, that I have called, that I have justified, and that I am in the process of glorifying, making like Jesus. Join me in what I'm doing, brothers and sisters. Jesus is the big brother. Wow. How about that? Thank you. Thank God. I thank God for you guys. I thank God for you, brothers and sisters, that you are with me also a forgiven daughter of our Father, and that we're on this journey together. How amazing. How can I help you? How can we help each other in this amazing thing that God is doing in changing our lives and growing more like Him? You've been very patient, boys and girls, and thank you very much for your help in listening to what God has said. Let's just pray together, and then the music group can come back, please. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for our families, our mums and dads and brothers and sisters and all the other people we have in our families. And we thank you that most of all, you are our Father in heaven. And we thank you that you also so much are working because you want us to be your sons and daughters, your children. Thank you most of all that you sent Jesus, our big brother, who didn't do anything wrong, to take our punishment so that we can have permission to be justified, to be with you like this. Help us to understand this so that we too, like Liefke, can completely trust you, our Father in heaven, as we believe in Jesus. And so thank you that you're making us like you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, please come and continue that full work in each one of us and in all of us together as IBC Bremen in these days. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, your mighty name, we pray. Let us go from this place different to when we came in the ways that your word is feeding us and changing us and saving us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.